Right. You no longer believe the lies of the enemy, correct? Right. No matter what anybody has said to you or about you that doesn't line up with the Word of God, you've let that go, correct? Right. And that no longer defines you. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm defined by Him. All right. Because whatever He said is the truth. What He said is the truth, right? He cannot lie and He cannot change. So what He said was the truth, and that's where we're going to stand. And therefore, He said that we need to do the work of the evangelist, right? He didn't say you had to be an evangelist, but He said we're going to have to do that kind of work. That means we're going to have to share the love of God with others. Now, you're going to do it differently than everybody else in this room, but it's got to be according to the Word of God. Some people do it by giving things. Some people do it by accomplishing things. Some people do it by proclaiming things, the Word of God. Some people, it's all different ways, people opening up their houses. But whatever it is about us, it's got to be that our lives are given for that purpose that more would hear. Amen? Right, because you've already heard. Tell your neighbors, I heard them. Okay, so you already know the truth. You already know what God's word has spoken over your life. Therefore, do you have to worry about tomorrow? No. Not a bit. He said tomorrow will take care of itself. Yeah. And you already found out your value by the word of God, right? Because the word of God said that you're more valuable than several sparrows. Isn't that what his word says? You're more valuable than many sparrows. That's the price that God put on us. A whole bunch of sparrows. No, he said not one of them fall to the ground. He said, but you're more valuable than many of them. So he's going to watch over and he's going to make a way. The issue now is not you thinking about you, but you thinking about what he's called you to do. It's about us thinking about him and accomplishing what he has sent us to do. There's some amazing gifts in this room. Every single one of you has an amazing gift. Every single joint supplying. Now it's your job to supply. This is what God's called you to do. You're a supplier. I remember when we were growing up on my best friend in high school. They owned Martinez Auto Body, and we would go there and work on cars on the weekend, usually mine that needed some repair. But we would go down there and work on them, and when the supplier came in, when NAPA came in, there was always something that they would hand out, always something that they're giving away, some kind of tools or whatever, something new. And it was always amazing when they come in because you were wondering what was new coming into the shop, what kind of new tools they invented. And can I tell you, that's the way the world needs to see it when you come in, that there should be a desire to see you because you're bringing something new that they've never heard of. You're bringing the truth in love that many of them have never heard of, that they too can be accepted in Jesus Christ, that they too can be forgiven, that they too can be made whole through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what they need to be hearing when we come in. Doesn't matter what store, what house, where we're going, that thought process, that what you're bringing is something beautiful. Tell your neighbor, say, you're beautiful. Amen. You didn't say it to him, Pastor. You didn't say it to him. You just looked at him, huh? I know, Sam, I think you're beautiful, all right? If you have your Bibles in Mark, we've looked at this many times in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, 32. The Bible says, God said that we're to love him with what? All our heart. All our heart. Come on, all our soul, all our mind, all of our strength. Right. And then he said, you're to love your neighbor. Right. Tell your neighbor, say, you're my neighbor. Tell your other neighbor, say, you're my neighbor. You know what's funny? You know what's really funny is some husbands looked at their wives and said, you're my neighbor. You know what? What is that all about? I said, turn to your neighbor. You look at your, hi, neighbor. You know, listen, if you're living like neighbors, come and see me afterwards. All right? Because there's problems in your household. But this is about your neighbor. You are to love your neighbor as yourselves. And you know, as we look back in Genesis chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10, and I want to read that quickly. It says, then the Lord came to Cain and he said, where is your brother Abel? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out for me from the ground. And so this is the entrance of, you know, what you would say, the egotistical individuality or something like that, right? Now, who is my brother? Isn't it amazing how we're always looking for an excuse? Three of you are. The rest of you is? You're saying, I am not opening my mouth. But you're always looking for an excuse. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, yeah, but Pastor, I'm not an evangelist. Yeah, but Pastor, that's not my gift. Yeah, but Pastor, I can't do that. Can I tell you, you can do what? That's right. There's nothing you can't do. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But this is when the ego and the individuality started way back in the garden. As they were, or just outside the garden, as they were on their way out. And Abel's blood seems to cry out and say, you know, I wouldn't be dead if it wasn't for you, Lord. Because if I didn't give you an offering that was worthy, my brother wouldn't have gotten upset with me. And therefore, that's what his blood seems to cry out to a certain degree. And so as we look at our lives and reaching out to our neighbors, we've got to be careful that we're not holding back because of a thought process or because of a fear. How many people walk in, and you don't have to raise your hand on this one, please. How many times have you walked in fear when you walked up to some stranger's house or you met somebody else and you got nervous about sharing the love of God? You held back something. And the question is, you know, why? Why? And it goes back to this because we're not sure how we're going to be received. And, you know, anybody here like rejection? Nobody likes rejection. We avoid it at all costs. Sometimes we avoid rejection so much that we hide in our little cubicle called our house and we watch television for days on end. Or some people, their entire lives, because they're afraid of everything outside their house, not knowing that the only thing that TV is pumping is rejection and fear and everything else under the sun that's ungodly. But God's desire is that we walk in a freedom that we've never enjoyed before, and that freedom only comes through falling in love with him. Cain asked him, am I the one that's supposed to help him or preserve him or watch over him? And I want you to know the answer is yeah. Yeah, because you've got neighbors, and your neighbor is your focus. Your neighbor is not someone that you leave to the side, even when they give you a hard time. See, the church has drawn back away from their neighbors. We're not talking about the world treating the neighbors the wrong way, but your neighbor is someone that you cannot avoid. Tell your neighbor, say, don't do it anymore. You know you have. You got frustrated. You shared. You brought over a meal. You made your best apple pie. You fixed their lawnmower. And then they badmouthed you. And then they complained about you. And then they borrowed your mower and they broke your mower after they broke theirs. All of these things that happen and we start to just push some aside. God's desire is not that. Because we know that in Romans 12:19, he says, never take your own revenge, right? Beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. Your wrath is nothing compared to the wrath of God. Your wrath is so temporal. Your wrath doesn't have a lot of bite to it. God's does. And he said, vengeance is his. Amen? And there's one thing that we have to remember, no different than Cain and Abel. Every one of the sins, every hidden sin will be exposed. Can we all agree on that? All right. Can we all agree that we all have them? Whether it's a wrong thought process, whatever it is. Maybe we've got that thought where I can't stand my neighbors and I'm never, ever going there. I don't care how many times you preach this message, preacher. I don't care what you think. I don't care what the Word of God says. I am not going back there. You have no idea. You have no idea. Because over there is, I can't remember the movie anymore. Somebody's mother from Psycho, whatever her name was, you know, maybe she lives next door. All right, but even if she lives next door, I believe that greater is the Christ in you than that's in her, amen? No matter who it is next door, and no matter what his name is, I couldn't even remember, sorry, but it doesn't matter who lives next door to you, it's your neighbor. God placed you there. You are specifically planted where you are. You thought you chose your house. God's got a plan for your neighbors. And that plan is the same plan that he has for you, right? That they would come to know Jesus Christ and that they would serve him and love him and fall in love and be completely healed and delivered like you are. You know, so much of what we do and what's going on in each one of our lives is completely selfish in the way that we think. And we've got to be those that have fallen in love with God. 1 John 4, 20 and 21, it says, if someone says, I love God and he hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have for him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother or love his brother also. And so God's talking about each one of us in here and then our neighbors. He's saying there's got to be a love for one of us. Isn't it amazing how when we get together as a body of Christ, we find out how much love or love we have or don't have? How many times you get together with a whole group and somebody just offends you? Nobody. I'm the only one. My goodness, you guys are spiritual. You should be up here preaching. I need to sit down and take lessons. Come to work day. We'll find out. We'll give you an opportunity. Go on a mission trip with 40 people in one bathroom. Sleeping outside where you don't have a shower for 4 days. And then you watch as some start to struggle. And it's wonderful. But God is teaching us in all of these things to die to ourselves. Amen? So that he would be glorified in everything that we put our hands to. And we need to be putting our hands to that plow or to pick up our cross and to follow him. We need to be walking that out. You know, am I my brother's keeper? Or that common Christianity requires it and enjoins, you know, an imitation of the example of Christ because Christ so loved the world and we know that. And it commands obedience to Christ. He commands his gospel to be preached all over the world. To every neighbor we can find. These are commands. He said, you're going to love me, then you're going to have to love your neighbor. You're going to have to learn how to. You're going to have to find some way where you get to a place where you don't give them authority over you. And that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Because if they make you mad, you're giving them authority. If they cause you to sell your house and move, guess what? You gave him a whole lot of authority. But God said, I've given you the authority over all the wickedness, over all the darkness. No matter what's in their lives, I've given you authority to set them free. The same way that Jesus did when he walked on this planet. There were none that he walked up to that he couldn't set free. None. Even the demoniac who was loaded with demons and everybody else ran away from him, stayed, even cut himself. But when he got close to Jesus, he fell at his feet. I want you to know that's the authority that you have. That no matter where you go, no matter how dark it is, the darker it is, the brighter your light shines. And this is what God's desire is. In 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, it says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge, to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. This is what your neighbors have done. So many have turned aside to myths. They've looked for every other way under the sun to live a life that's fulfilled. But then they didn't realize when they moved next door to you, their life was about to change. Isn't that a beautiful thought? When they move next to you, the power of God is so strong in you that they're going to have to change. The light in you, the light, the peace in your home is going to start to affect everything around you and those that we meet on the street. But he said to preach the word, and he said be instant in season and out of season. And that in season and out of season in the Greek, it means in the good times and the bad times. When things are going easy and when things are not going so easy. We're the ones that don't change. It means stand fast in what you've been told to do. When the whole rest of the world, depression is sky high out in the world, not here in the name of Jesus. Amen? Because we're still free indeed. Just because your life has changed doesn't mean, oh, I don't know what to do now. What am I going to do? Same thing you did before. Pray, study the word of God, and love your neighbor. Real simple. Fall in love with him, obey him, and then go do what he's called us to do. That's all God's asked us to do. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. Things have changed. Thank God things have changed. Thank God things have changed. Some of it's a pain. But our job hasn't changed. Our purpose hasn't changed. God's desire for your life hasn't changed. His desire for your neighbor's salvation hasn't changed. But it means to stand your post. When they're all going crazy with whether it's the protests or they're burning things down and all of that foolishness that's going on, when they're destroying other people's businesses and stuff, listen, we don't change. We still stand. Our job is to bring peace in the midst of craziness. Amen? Amen? We're not the ones that get distracted by someone else. We don't join in and start losing control. And that's for the world. Our job is to go in and bring peace in the midst of a tumultuous situation. That's right. Our job is to stand in the midst of it, the adversity, and not be moved by those temporal things, because it's all temporal. Everything is temporal that's going on right now. It's going to change. It's happened before in America. It's happened before in every other country around the world. But for those that are strong in the Lord, those are our neighbors. No matter who they are, no matter what they're doing, they're our neighbors. And that's the place we're supposed to be. Amen? Amen. We're supposed to be light in the darkness. That's dark. That's dark. People yelling and screaming. You know, I've said it many times, and I just love it, the line from Men in Black. A person is smart, but people are stupid. And it's so true, because you can get a huge group. A couple of agitators can stir up everybody, and they'll do things they would never, ever do before. Isn't that amazing? But it only takes one leader to stand up and say, hang on a second, I'm going to pray for you. Hang on a second. I'm going to get down here on my knees, and I'm going to pray for everybody here. We're not going to be moved for this. And I can tell you, I've watched many of them and listened to men that have said, we walked into it, and we started to pray, and it started to change the atmosphere. We're those that are to change the atmosphere. We're the men and women who don't get sidetracked by everything that's going on out there. I hear so much junk about what should happen. Here's what should happen. We should love our neighbor. We should pray without ceasing. And we should vote in godly men and women. And if they're not pro-life, then don't do it. It's just that simple. Because if they're going to kill a baby in the womb, they've devalued one life, and they'll devalue every other life that there is. Please come up and argue with me afterwards if you'd like. The word of God is the highest form of spiritual warfare there is. Amen. So every situation we get into, we're to proclaim what the word of God says over our neighbor. Amen? In every situation, we're to Why do you think the devil always attacks the pulpit? It's not the person necessarily, but it's what's coming out of their mouths. Because the word of God starts to change people's lives when it comes out of someone's mouth. Therefore, the enemy hates it because it's a thing that destroys his very stronghold. If no one preaches the word of God, guess what happens to a city? Guess what happens to a city? It gets darker and darker and darker. And the enemy hates it. See, all you have to do is proclaim what the word of God says. You don't have to come up with your own stuff. Isn't that good news? You don't have to. You know what? Some of the worst things that ever happened was men came up with their own stuff. Right. Women came up with their own stuff. And they started proclaiming it as God. Look, we got to line it up with the word of God. And as we're up here and we proclaim that the darkness has to bow before the word of God in your life and every other life out there. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places is no comparison to you. His power is nothing compared to the power on the inside of you. But most Christians don't believe it. You know, I had a thought come to me this morning. I was down by the river. I'm walking. I woke up at 3 this morning. I couldn't go back to sleep, so I came down and started walking down by the river at 4:30 this morning. And I'm telling you, I thought I was walking in a movie. I'm walking down there, and one of the street lights is lit. The other 3 are out. You got the old iron fence going alongside. I look down over the river, and the mist is coming off the river. I'm waiting to hear, ah, in the background, and I have to run and save the day, but nothing happened. But it was just like a picture out of a movie. The boats were down there floating, nice and calm. Everything was set for a movie. And I'm just walking. I'm shabatalaketiende, yambabatalak, nothing. So I got distracted for a minute because I had this movie inside my head, but I just started crying out and praying, and I was waiting. But you know what? Godly thoughts didn't come at that moment because of what I saw. What I saw as I looked up, street lights are out, wrought iron fence, a little fog coming off the river, darkness everywhere. Mountains in the background with the moon just showing the outline. I had no idea what was coming out of the river that morning, but I know where I was sending it back where it was coming from. But it's amazing how a certain atmosphere can change the way that we think. What we see can change. You can be having an amazing day. Here comes your neighbor. Can I borrow your lawnmower again? Sorry for ripping it to pieces last time, man. And then you're like, everything is good. Da, 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 da. Here they come. Again. Honey, close the blinds. Hey, baby, write it on the board. Dentist appointment in 10 minutes. You will come up with anything when you see them coming. But that's not the heart of God. Amen? What God wants is, maybe this is their turn. They say that it takes, I think, an average of 14 times telling somebody about Jesus Christ before they accept him. Maybe you've been telling them for 14 years. You've got a harder case. But God knew who to put you next to because he was preparing you. Amen? So this is a season that we're in. I believe that God wants to bring an amazing harvest into the kingdom of God. In 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, it says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned. Continue. Don't stop. Don't stop. Look at, love your neighbor. Keep loving your neighbor. Pray for your neighbor. Keep praying for your neighbors. Your workers, the guys that you're next to, I've been pounding my head against the wall for a long time. Keep pounding your head against the wall. Don't stop, because the Bible says, the things you have learned and became convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Keep doing what you were doing because it's going to lead to someone's salvation. Keep doing what you learned. Don't stop, right? Be instant in season and out of season. Stand your ground. No matter what they say, no matter how you're treated, no matter what goes on in your family, stand your ground. No matter what's going on in the neighborhood or down the streets or wherever you're from, stand your ground. Your instant. One thing, preaching the word of God, because the word of God is going to set people free. In a world right now, that individualism is at its peak. It's at the highest it's ever been. I mean, think about it, even in the church. How many pictures in your phone do not have you in it? Now, it depends on what generation you're in, okay? But think about it. How many pictures are on your phone that are all about you? Oh, here's me at the lake. Here's me behind the garage. Here's me in front of the garage. Here's me by the front door. Here's me by the post. Here's me by the plow. Here's me by the mower that my neighbor's going to borrow and ruin again. I just wanted a picture before he wrecked it. Here's me over here. Picture, 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 picture. And forget the millennials, man. They need extra storage just to store all their pictures of themselves. But that's what's happened gradually down through is individual, egotistical atmosphere that's happening in people's lives. Me, me, me. And then we're at a height because if you don't agree with me, you don't have a right to voice your opinion.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. The only opinion we have is the opinion of Christ. In every situation, no matter what's said about us or to us, we love our lives not even unto the death. Amen? Even unto the death. And that death is something we die every day. It's not just about when the natural man is killed. I'm reminded of Antipas in Revelation chapter 2. And Antipas means someone who was almost rebellious, someone who wouldn't go along to get along. Isn't that what the world is preaching now? Hey, church people, can't you just get along? Just accept these different agendas that we have. Just accept abortion. Just accept homosexuality. Just accept all of these things and get along with us. And then we'll all get along. We'll all be happy. Antipas, back then, In Pergamum, he said, I'm not going to go along to get along. And he started preaching the word. He just kept preaching the word of God. And it was bad. It was known as the seat of Satan. And they had all different thrones there. It was the throne of Satan, I believe they called it, which was where Zeus, they had an altar there. And guess what? They moved that altar in the 1930s. They moved it to Germany just before Hitler took over. So as he was there, he started preaching the word of God. He wouldn't stop preaching. And it says in the history, not in the scriptures, it doesn't give us a lot of information there, but it starts talking about some men have written about him. They said he started praying for people and he was casting the devil out of people. He was casting out so many that they went to the governor and they said, you got to do something about this guy. Oh, that they would complain about us like that. They would say they're casting out too many demons. They're setting too many people free. They're getting too many people saved. This is chaos. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be spoken of about our church? But that's what he was doing. Antipas was there and he was preaching the word of God, setting people free, getting the demons delivered from him. And they said, hey, you got to do something about this guy. So they went to him and they said, can't you just get along? We make a lot of money with all of this stuff. We've got different gods all over the place, and you're causing quite a problem. He said, nope. And he just kept delivering people and praying for people. And so they took him. They said, we're done with you. And the history writer said that they tied him up, they bound him up, and there was this giant bronze calf, probably made out of copper, and it had a side door in it. And they tied him up, and they stuffed him in this copper calf. Or this bull with big horns. And they even put musical horns coming out of this bull. And then they lit a fire under the bull. And it got so hot that he fried to death, bound up inside of here. And they put the horns on the top of the bull so that when he screamed, it sounded like the bull was coming to life. And it would echo out of the horns of the bull. But he said, I'm not going to stop preaching the word of God. I'm not going to stop praying and getting people delivered. And they said that he was praying while he was inside of there and just crying out to the Lord. We don't change. We don't move from what God has called us. Therefore, he's called us. We need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Love our neighbor as ourselves.
We are not allowed to get caught up in the foolishness that's going on out in the world. We are to be those that stand, proclaim Christ and Him crucified, then that's it. And then love one another. Amen? So when you walk out of here, you walk out of here with the power of God. You walk out of here and we don't mix. We don't play games. We draw them into the light. We cast out the darkness. We go against and we break the power of the lies over their lives. We set them free from the demonic activity that's happening on the inside of them. That's who we are. We're the ones that bring freedom to those that are lost. Amen? Jesus is coming back one more time, but He's not coming back to bring power. He's already deposited that through the Holy Ghost into the church. He's coming back in full power when He does come. And it will be over. But until then, we've got a job to do. And I don't know about you, but I want every one of my kids walking with the Lord. And God wants every one of His kids walking with the Lord. He doesn't want any of them that are left behind. And heaven forbid that we get distracted because of some human being. That because of what we see, the wrought iron fence, the steam coming off, the dark lights, and all of a sudden we get distracted. And we're looking around at something that has nothing to do with what we were called to do. I was called to go down there and pray and cry out to God. But because of what I saw, I started thinking about something else for a moment. And I had to rein my thoughts back in. And I believe that that's what this morning is. It's about reining our thoughts back in. It's about reining our speech back in. Remember the things that you have learned. Be ready instant, in season and out of season. Stand fast, not moving, but proclaiming Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Stand up this morning. In Matthew 24 and verse 6, it says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened." Tell your neighbor, say, "I'm not scared."
I'm not scared.
"For those things must take place, but that is not the end. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom in various places. There will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and you will be killed. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end," tell your neighbor, say, "That's me," "will be saved. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end," or the fruition, or the culmination of what God said, "will come." Will come. Listen, He wrote that because He said, get ready. Be prepared. Wars and rumors, wars. Yep, knew they were coming. People are going to hate me. Knew that was coming. I'm going back. I'm going to hang out with the body of Christ, get strong again before I go out with them that hate me again. I'm going to build myself up in the most holy faith so that when I go out, I know what's coming. He said, get ready. It's coming. We hate you. Oh, I love you. No, we can't stand you. I was talking to one gentleman in town and they said, Oh, yeah. When I'm in my business and I'm sitting and listening to people, they say, oh, yeah, that church is a cult. You guys already drank the Kool-Aid this morning. It's too late. Yeah, they said it's a cult. And people down there, they're so twisted. They're so weak and anemic. They're lost. They don't even know. They're not like us. That's how they look at the church. We knew it was coming. What do? Hallelujah! He said, rejoice when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Amen? Because you're standing on the word of God. We're not those that, I got to find another church that doesn't preach like this. I got to go someplace I'm just going to hide. I just got to stay busy about what I'm doing because it's too hard when people don't like me. Most people don't like you. Get used to it. I've talked to your old friends. But the wonderful thing about it is God's madly in love with you. God is madly, listen, when you got saved, they changed their opinion of you, didn't they? Mine did. Oh, he used to be fun.
Oh, he used to be a blast. We used to have so much fun with him. Now he's boring. That's what they told me. Five of my closest friends, that's what they said. We don't want to hang out with him no more. He's boring. He doesn't do anything crazy anymore. I don't know. I think going to the middle of India and preaching the word of God is pretty crazy. I think going to Iraq and helping build a church over, that's pretty crazy. But you see, their idea of crazy was, you know, just stupid stuff. But my marriage is the only one that didn't end in divorce out of all of them. Or problems. So they can say all they want about me. As long as my wife holds me. Just hold me, baby, all right? Because the power of the word of God keeps me. I need the strength that you have. You need the strength of others around you. Because God's got a plan for your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. Lord, as you have told us what's coming, and yet you said, don't worry, I've got you. Don't worry, I'm going to walk you all the way through it. Don't worry, I'm going to show you how I can use you to change people's lives. You said, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Let the world care about those silly things. You said, you just fall in love with me. Dance with me. Cry out to me. Spend time with me. And I'm going to use you to change the whole world. Father, I pray that each one of us would have such a hunger to preach the gospel to all four corners of the world. That no matter what day it is or what's happened in our lives, still your word, what we have learned, Father, we're not going to move from. We're going to stand fast and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. We're going to stand fast and not be moved by the mere words of mortal men. And Father, that as we speak your word, it's going to accomplish what you sent it to do. It's going to set that hardened heart free. It's going to heal the brokenness. It's going to deliver the addicted. It's going to set at liberty those that have pain from yesterday that they have never been able to get rid of. But one moment with you, one word from you, and we're going to watch their eyes able to see once again and ears be able to hear. Thank you for allowing us to be used by the King of Glory. Father, we take our lives and we want to scrub it once again. We want to remove the things that have distracted us, the cares of this world. Lord, we don't want our eyes to deceive us. We're not interested in the mist coming off the river or the wrought iron or the lights being out. Father, we're not getting distracted by those things. You have called us to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. I thank you for our neighbors that they'll be sitting next to us because of the love that you have deposited in us. Lord, we're no longer walking as egotistical individuals, but we're giving you our hearts, our lives. Our thoughts would be surrendered to you. Our tongues would be used as a weapon of righteousness, speaking only truth, so that the darkness must flee and deliverance must come to those who hear. Thank you, Father, for renewing us this morning with a hunger for those around us, that we wouldn't walk through another day without a victory shout, a cheer, a proclamation, and a lifestyle of giving you ourselves completely. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. Go let your neighbor know they can borrow your mower again. Bless them that have cursed you. Build those up that have cast you aside. For you truly are loved in the kingdom of God.